Holy cow, we are bleeding Cubby Blue today on this podcast. We're going to be discussing a lot of the trade deadline moves the Cubs did and did not make, as well as expectations, what other teams did comparatively to the Cubs, and we're going to look at things going forward beyond 2025, going into 2026 as well, which I hate to do because we still have a lot of season ahead of us. Anyway, my name is Ryan Downs. I'm your host today. It is August 5th. Sorry, I'm just getting to this trade deadline stuff as I was in Chicago all last weekend. All right, right now, let's get into all the review of the additions the Cubs did actually make. Starting off with Willy Castro, which I think we'll get into more of this later, but I like that move. They got Taylor Rogers, the worst of the two Rogers. It's a whatever move. It's fine. Andrew Kittredge, same kind of the same boat as Taylor Rogers, the right-handed version. And then Mike Soroka, which we all know he just got injured the other day. So first off, I want to talk about the expectations because I think the Cubs fans as a whole, the Cubs nation, had a lot of expectations. And maybe it was because of all the rumors out there with Mackenzie Gore and others. You know, one name you heard a lot about was Eugenio Suarez as a potential Cub, which would have been great. But overall, I would have personally loved a guy like Joe Ryan. That was my dream. And I know that might have been a bit unrealistic. But I thought the Cubs, and I think a lot of other Cubs people thought the same thing, I thought the Cubs needed a top-of-the-line starter. And if it wasn't going to be one of those controllable guys, which Jed Hoyer claims were overpriced, whatever that means, then I thought you had to at least get a rental like a Merrill Kelly. And maybe it's Shane Bieber instead of a Merrill Kelly. You know, I know Shane Bieber's coming back from Tommy John, and I know that's a big deal. However, you know he's got a proven track record. He comes off of being a top-of-the-line guy. So I think he would have been a prime target for the Cubs, and I don't feel like the Blue Jays gave up all that much for him. Now, looking at Suarez, he would have been a great addition to the lineup. It wouldn't have fit their biggest needs, which I think are both starting pitching and bullpen. But that lineup with him in it, man, that would have been just nasty. He's the one guy on the market that could really make a difference in your lineup, and now he's going to be doing that for the Mariners. And so you hate to see him go somewhere else, but I guess if there's any positive about it, he's going to the AL. I think the Cubs, as well as the top-of-line starter that they didn't get, I thought they also needed a back-end bullpen shutdown arm. I think that's one thing they've been lacking for several years. Now, Palencia has been really good, and I wanted another guy to complement him because right now I just don't feel like they have it, and they haven't had a dominant bullpen for a long time. I think if you go back to, I think it was, yeah, just 2 years ago, they rode Mark Leiter Jr. and Albert Alzolay so hard. I believe when I look back, they both threw like 15 times in August, 15 times in 30, 31 days. That is so crazy. And then I think that was when Alzolay was coming off a forearm injury, and I think Leiter ended up having a forearm injury after that. And they had the meltdown, and they didn't make the playoffs. And then last year, it was kind of the same thing. They didn't really go out and get their guys. They didn't go out and get the bullpen help they needed. And when you're bringing in guys like a couple years ago, they brought in Jose Quas as your only bullpen addition, nobody's going to take you seriously. So I think that the main issue was not going to get a starter, a top-of-the-line starter. Soroka's not that guy. And then on top of that, you needed to get a back-end bullpen help. Even if you would have got one or the other, maybe a couple guys for the bullpen or just that one starter, I think at least you're sending the message that you're going semi-all-in at least. I mean, going all-in would mean you're probably getting Suarez, you're getting a top-line starter, you're getting a couple bullpen pieces. That's fine. You don't need to go all-in. Show me you want something. Show me you're going after it. Show me the other teams. Like, Philly's got Duran. The Phillies paid the price. Mick Abel is no joke as a prospect. That guy could turn out to be a stud. If at worst, he's probably a middle-of-the-rotation starter long-term. They paid the price. What'd the Mets do? The Mets went out and got the better of the two Rogers, Tyler Rogers. The deception he brings is the epitome of what I feel like the Cubs have tried to build in their bullpen, try to find those guys that come all different angles and kind of throw you off. Why not go get him? He didn't cost that much. Gregory Soto, even. He has the history or the resume of closing games. Why not him? And, of course, they went and got Helsley. That wasn't realistic, I don't think, for the Cubs to go get in division. But nonetheless, they went and got their guy. What did the Yankees do, for example? Camilo Duvall, David Bednar, both back-end guys. Did they cost a good chunk of prospect capital? Yes, as expected. What did the Padres do? They gave up one of the top prospects in the game in DeVries for Mason Miller and J.P. Sears, he's whatever. But some of those teams already had better bullpens than the Cubs to begin with, and then they still went out and got better. So what's that make you think about the Cubs? What does that make us think about what Jed Hoyer thinks about the Cubs? Because now I'm starting to question whether he even believes in this team, because a team that is all in goes all in. And I don't feel like they're all in. He keeps talking about the prices of prospects. When the Cubs went out in the 2016 season and got Aroldis Chapman, do you think it was easy to give up Gleyber Torres, a top prospect in the game that they brought through the system and it was near Major League ready? No, but they got their guy. So what this is telling me is that Jed does not think this team is ready. He thinks, what's going to lead me to my next point. I think that ever since they extended the playoff field to 12 teams, I think both the Cubs and Red Sox kind of fall into this point I'm going to make here. I think that they are just more interested in getting into the playoffs consistently year after year, even though the Cubs haven't done so. But I think they just want to set up a system where they can get there. And then from there, Jed just sees it as a crapshoot. He wants the team to get hot at the right time. And if they get hot, then they're going to run the table. Now, I think there's some truth to that, yes. However, there's also a lot to be said for having a dominant starting pitcher at the top of your rotation to get you through game one and potentially maybe it's a game six or seven. And there's a lot to be said about having a guy that can come in the eighth or ninth inning to shut down games instead of handing the ball to Taylor Rogers and Andrew Kittredge. Like, if that's who you're going to go to in game six or game seven of an NLCS or World Series, what? Like, I'm not saying it can't happen, but it's not likely to work. So I just get the vibe that these two teams have big markets. They know that the fans are going to show up as long as they're in contention. So they're going to make their money there with the seats being filled, and fans are going to watch it. I'm going to watch the Cubs if they're in contention. I'll be the first to tell you, I love the Cubs like no other, but it was hard to watch the last couple of years. And there was a lot of games where I turned it off when it got out of hand. But I'll also tell you that I will watch if they're in contention, no matter how entertaining or how many superstars they do or do not have, I'll still watch. And I'll still go to games. However, I would much rather they have a dominant team because come October, it's not going to be fun if they turn into the Oakland A's of the early 2000s where they keep making it and keep losing. And again, Jed's theory is probably it's a crapshoot because I don't like the new playoff system. I don't like the 12 teams in there, but it is what it is. And if you have the best players, you're more likely to win. And I don't feel like the Cubs have the best players right now, and they didn't help themselves all that much. They stayed within the margins. They stayed close to the chest. They didn't want to expose themselves too much. So then let's talk about what happens now that the Cubs have held on to these prospects. What's next? Hypothetically, if Kyle Tucker leaves this offseason, probably the most basic thing that can happen is just Owen Casey slides into right field, Seiya stays at DH, and pretty much everything else is status quo. If that doesn't work out, they could put Ballesteros at DH. Seiya can go back out to the outfield for his contract year, and Casey can stay in the minors. You know, it could be a fight for one of those two ways in spring training. So where does that leave whoever doesn't get that spot, Ballesteros or Casey? Do they just go back down to the minors? Where does that leave Kevin Alcantara? Where does that leave James Triantos or Jonathan Long? Like, I get it. You want to have a good system of prospects. But what point do these guys get an opportunity? Are you going to tell me you're going to wait until 2026 to call up Casey or Alcantara? I mean, those guys would be, what, near 25 or close to it by the time Happ and Seiya are leaving after the 2026 season. And then we're going into a season that has so many unknowns with the CBA coming up. So who knows what's going on there. So I'm just kind of frustrated. I think what you've got to do with this system here is you got to pick one or two guys that you are really clung to and you're going to hold on to, and you're not going to trade them unless something just ridiculous comes available. And I think you got to hold on to those guys and use their system to go get the guys you need, whether it's the offseason or if it's the trade deadline. And obviously the trade deadline's passed, so now you're just looking to next offseason. And if they go make a big trade this offseason for like a Joe Ryan or somebody, some frontline starter, I think that's just going to piss me off more because I'm going to be like, we were 2 months away from the playoffs and you had an opportunity to go get our guy and you chose not to. But you decided to wait till November or December to go make the deal? I give up that extra prospect to go get the guy in the time of urgency. I don't feel like Jed has a sense of urgency the way all of us fans do, and I know fans can overreact, but I don't think this is an overreaction. I think there was a time to make a deal, and there was a time to overpay, and that time was now. And if he just doesn't think that the Cubs are on the same plane as the Dodgers and the Phillies and the Mets, then get out of town. Make it happen. A team like the Cubs should not have to rebuild twice in a decade, and that's what they've done. And you can blame it on Theo, you can blame it on Jim Hendry for all I care, but at the end of the day, a big market team like the Cubs should not be rebuilding twice in a decade. That should never, ever happen. but it's happened. And it should, if since they've done it, they should be in a great position right now. But the fact is, they haven't really developed a whole lot. What have they developed in their system right now that you feel confident is going to become a big major league piece? Now, Cade Horton looks great. He does look good. Nico Horner, solid player. He's a very solid player, good player. And before that, you're looking at Ian Happ. And so those are good pieces. But we need to start, for lack of better terms, we need to shit or get off the pot with these prospects. Either bring them up, put them in a spot, and let them play, or get rid of them for something that you can find a spot for. Because there's no way you're going to tell me that Kevin Alcantara, Moises Ballesteros, and Owen Casey, and James Triantos, Jonathan Long are going to be playing in the major leagues all within the next 2 years. So are you waiting for them just to burst onto the scene? Are you waiting for them to just boost their value in the minor leagues until somebody comes calling and knocking down your door trying to give you Joe Ryan or Mackenzie Gore for them? Because I don't see it. So that's where I'll just kind of cut it off today, guys. I'm a bit frustrated as a Cubs fan right now, and I know a lot of you are too. So I think going forward, we just have to hope for the best for this team. We got to hope that Kyle Tucker kind of figures this stuff out. We got to figure out Saya. I mean, the whole middle of the lineup right now is just a hot mess. Even Michael Bush at the top of the lineup is a hot mess. But really, Nico's the only one hitting. Pitching has been okay. The thing about the pitching right now is there's not a lot to hope for. Potential-wise, because there's not a ton of potential. You know what Shota is. He's a good pitcher. Cade Horton's been probably the one that's really been the boost that saved this team. You hope that Tyon comes back and he's healthy and he can be the kind of the middle-of-the-rotation starter that he's been. But other than that, I mean, you're really just Matthew Boyd, of course, he's been a savior for us. But other than that, you're just really hoping on depth does what depth does and just gives you innings that keeps you in the game. And hopefully that can get us to October, but I feel like right now as a Cubs fan, your hope is just to get to October and hope that something magical happens, because I don't feel like on paper we did anything for ourselves this deadline. And I mean, as Cubs fans, we're going to be full of hope and we're going to watch the games. If they make the playoffs, I'll sure as hell be there, and I'll love being there for that atmosphere, but I will be really wishing that we had a Joe Ryan on the mound, and maybe that'll happen in 2026, but we can hope for the best in 2025. And with that, guys, I hope you guys all have a great day. We will talk to you guys soon later this week. I'll get another podcast out. Thanks a lot.